It's already good. But I need you to know that. The title is Disarming Satan. Disarming Satan. Before I start, may I just remind you, if you don't have a notepad, please to grab something to write on. Because what I'm going to talk about is a subject that frightens most people, and therefore they push it out of their minds as something that doesn't exist. And I don't want you to leave here and someone actually tell you that, no, that is not for you to deal with. It's for someone else. No, it is for every single believer. So if you don't have a notepad, use your smartphone or note, what do you call it? One of these things. What are these things called? I forgot. Tablet, yes. Write on your tablet, whatever it is, but make a note of it so that when the enemy comes to deceive you, you can say, this is what it says in the word of God. Amen. All right, so when we belong to God's kingdom, we have spiritual weapons to disarm Satan through God's power. Amen? Amen? And we are going to look at some of these weapons, not all of them, some of them, and begin to exercise them where we are currently not using them. And I urge you to write these things down, the Bible passages down, so that you can check them out for yourself. And before I start, I just want to say that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen. Amen. Now in Luke chapter 10, I'm going to go a little fast. I may not stop for you to refer to all the Bible passages. That's why I need you to write it down so that when you go home, you can check that what I'm saying is true. Amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out the 70 disciples to go and heal the sick, to authenticate the message and to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. And this is what the disciples reported when they returned to Jesus. That is in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. I'll read it out to you. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. Now it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Amen. I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Let's pause there for a minute. See, for Jesus to have seen Satan fall from heaven meant he was watching. Amen? Amen. Now, you can't see something unless you are looking. Isn't that right? Now, remember that with the Great Commission, when Jesus was speaking to the disciples or giving them the last words, as it were, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, for lo, I'm with you always. Isn't it? And therefore, before Jesus made that statement, when he sent the 70 out, he was with them. And therefore, what I need you to understand is, anytime we step out in faith to do something in the name of Jesus, to carry out God's work, he goes with us and he's watching us. Amen? He never sent out us alone. And therefore, when he says, lo, I'm with you always, I need you to understand that, yes, indeed, he is with you always in all that you're doing for him. He is watching. Amen. Amen. So let's carry on reading. Verse 18, let's read that again. Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. And Jesus said, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess. Listen. I have given you authority that you now, not tomorrow, not when you are fully matured, when you are 100 years old, but I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions. And what that means is God has given us authority to deal with demonic powers of spirits. Amen? Amen. And the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy and Satan, and nothing will in any way harm you. Amen? Amen. Now, who made the statement? Jesus made the statement, amen? Do you believe that statement? Okay, let's carry on. And so Jesus says, if Jesus says that, then it is okay to talk about disarming Satan. I don't want anyone to actually begin to fear of the subject right now, because it is one that Jesus says we can do. And if Jesus says we can do, then we can do, amen? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. All right, 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Who is going to destroy these fortresses? Okay, we are not sure. Okay, let me read it again. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Who is going to destroy these fortresses? Christians are going to destroy them. I need you to work with me here. Amen? Amen. All right. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he spoke to his disciples. And this is what I refer to as the Great Commission. This is from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. All right. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed in me, okay, it doesn't say the pastor. It doesn't say church leaders. It doesn't say people who have been in faith for 100 years. It says, he who has believed in me and has been baptized will be saved from the penalty of God's wrath and judgment. But he who has not believed will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Amen? Amen. Who are going to do these things? Those who have believed. Do you believe? You do. Okay. I need your yes to be a little louder. You're too quiet. It's as though you're thinking, "What? Where is this woman going? I'm only speaking the word of God, aren't I?" Amen. Okay. So today we are going to look at some of these weapons to disarm Satan through God's power. Amen? Amen. I came across a phrase from Apostle Maldonado, and I just want to relate it to you. He says, I am an extension of the resurrected Christ here on earth to advance his kingdom. Because if indeed the resurrected power resides within me, because when I became a Christian, when you became a Christian too, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And when he came, he did not come just empty. He came to give you power, the resurrected power, the power that rose Jesus from when his spirit was in hell, that actually activated him, and he rose from there, right? And he came. That spirit is residing in you, believe it or not, unless, of course, you're not a believer. But the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is a spirit of power. Amen? And the spirit that resides in you is the same spirit that resided in Jesus, that he did the things he did when he was on earth. And when he was going, he said, all authority and power that has been given me, I have given to you. Go and do the things that I did. And therefore, the statement that I am an extension of the resurrected Christ here on earth to advance his kingdom is true. Do you believe that? Yes. Okay, repeat it with me then. I am an extension of the resurrected Christ here on earth to advance his kingdom. Again, I am an extension of the resurrected Christ here on earth to advance his kingdom. Amen. And therefore, we are going to learn the weapons that are we already know of. These weapons are not new. The minute I start talking about them, you see that, oh, so I know these things. But I'm only going to pull them in one place so that we'll be intentional about using the weapons. Amen. They're very weapons that we know already. We talk about in the church already. Here they are. The first, and I'm going to list them, and then I'll look at them as much as possible. The word of God, scripture, is one of them. Prayer, fasting, praise, worship, our testimony, and supernatural power of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So, remember to write down the passages, because I'm going to go a little fast from here. So, the word of God, the first one we're going to look at is the word of God. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and this from the Amplified Version, it says, for the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing and effective. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person and of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Amen? Amen. That is why when we hear the word of God spoken, it cuts through our hearts. Sometimes you come to church and you say that I thought I was the only person in the church that the minister was actually speaking to me. But no, that is the word of God. It penetrates those deepest parts of our nature. Now let's see how the word of God operated in the Old Testament. I'm going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37 to show how powerful the word of God is. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10. Now, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel speaking. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass all around them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will make breath enter you so that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you so that you may come alive and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on the bones, and the flesh grew, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this land that they may live. So I prophesied. And he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Amen? Amen. The word of God is living and active. It is full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. Because Ezekiel spoke the word of God, and very dry bones came together, bone to its bone. Amen? Amen. And there were sinews on the bones, and flesh grew on it. This is what is called creative miracle. We speak the word of God, and when we speak the word of God, it happens. It says in Isaiah 55:11, it says, So my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, or it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it, or it will accomplish the purpose for which I desired, and it will succeed in the matter for which I sent it. Amen. So the word of God, we're saying that the word of God is powerful. We need to learn to actually immerse ourselves in the word of God so that we can speak the word, because it is a weapon that God has given us to disarm the enemy. If we don't know the word of God, we cannot speak it when we need it. Amen? 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 Amen. Jesus' name. Father, I pray for revelation for your people. Amen. Father, I pray that by the time we leave this place, we will know how powerful the word of God is. Now look at the one verse I'm going to leave with you. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. This is when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And the enemy came to actually test him. And what did Jesus say? Jesus quoted the word. I'm going to read you Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. It says, if you are the Son of God, this is the devil speaking, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But Jesus replied, it is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. See, the enemy knows scripture. So there is no, it's nothing new if you know scripture. It is nothing new if I know scripture. The only difference, what makes it powerful, is when we know scripture and we live by it. When we know scripture and we live by it and we speak it, that is what makes it powerful. Because the enemy spoke scripture. And he knows it more than you and I. But the difference is God's spirit lives inside of us. So when we speak the word back to God, it is powerful. And he delivers. Amen? Because he says that his word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Amen? So saturate yourself in the word of God. See, one of the things we do in this church, we know how important the word of God is. And we did a survey a few years back. And what you said, or the congregation that was here at that time said, is we want to read the word of God, but we don't know where to start. That is when we started doing the daily devotions. And it comes out to you free in your inbox. And we are helping you. See, it says, little drops of water makes the mighty ocean. Is that right? Yes. And therefore, reading a little bit of the Bible at a time actually builds your confidence up. It's a bit like going to the gym. Little by little, You build muscles up and you become strong and you have stamina to do the things that you couldn't do before. Reading the Bible every day is what is going to sharpen that tool for you so that in your time of need, you can call on it, and that is when God is going to answer it. When my children were young, the youngest actually, Friday was my day of then. She was about two at the time. And therefore, Friday was McDonald's day. And if I pretended, I don't know how she knew Friday was Friday, but she knew Friday was Friday. And if I pretended to forget it was Friday, she reminded me, "Mom, you said we were going to McDonald's. Mom, you said." And she loved McDonald's. So we'd get to save time as a parent. You do so much rushing around. To save time, I'll get the McDonald's. You know how they do it in the little box? She'll be sat in the Sainsbury's shopping trolley and wheeling her around. She enjoyed it so much. Woe unto me if I didn't do it. So it is when you speak the word of God to God. "God, you said. God, you said. God, you said." And he will honor his word. Amen? And therefore, know how to, immerse yourself in the word of God and quote it. And please, if you are not already reading the Bible daily, daily devotions is there to help you. Amen? So that's weapon number one. Weapon number two is prayer. Weapon number two is prayer. God promises to hear us when we pray. And it says in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, that it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And whilst they are speaking, I will hear. Amen? Amen? And then Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, my favorite verse for this year. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish." Amen. Let's look at a passage where someone called and God showed the person what was going on in the spirit that they couldn't see in the physical. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. It says, this is when the king of Aram was really upset, because each time he planned to go and invade Israel, a prophet called Elisha, God would reveal it to the prophet. The prophet would tell the king of Israel, and they would actually go and prepare themselves so that the king of Aram couldn't capture them. And the king of Aram got really furious, and he spoke to his army and said, "Who is it in my camp that when I plan to go and invade Israel, someone goes to tell them?" And they said, "No, none of us are doing that, but there is a prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha. He is the one who is telling the king of Israel what you are planning to do." So he said, "Now go and capture this prophet and bring him to me, all right?" And therefore, imagine that is the most ridiculous thing ever. But this is what happened. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, this is what happened. "So the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, and behold, there was an army with horses and chariots encircling the city." That is the Aramaeans, and the Aramaeans had circled the city. Elisha's servant said to him, "Oh no, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha answered, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Amen? Amen. Then Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. When the Arameans came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people, this nation, with blindness." And God struck them with blindness in accordance with Elisha's request. Amen. Amen. There is power in prayer. Amen. Amen. There is power in prayer. Amen. Amen. There is power in prayer. Amen. Can I have that slide with the chick and the hen, or the hen and the chicks, please? God is a prayer answering God, and he promises to answer us when we call. Let's learn to pray, because there is protection in prayer. You see the hen with the chicks under it? Now, if you live in the city, if you've never seen one before, I will wholeheartedly encourage you, never in your life try to go and pluck a chick from under a hen when it is sitting on it. It will do damage to you. And then when we go and hide in God, that is how he protects us. Amen? Amen? He protects us, because when you are hiding in God and the enemy comes and he sees God, you are as tiny as those chicks underneath, but God is bigger. Amen. Amen. And the enemy sees that God, and he takes with his heels. He runs away because he knows he's a defeated foe. Amen. And he cannot stand God. And so prayer is something that you need to learn to do, because when you do that, you hide yourself in God. One of the things that worries me is when I hear people say that, oh, I don't know how to pray, so I don't like to attend prayer services. As though by saying that, you give the enemy permission to leave you alone. The enemy isn't going to come looking for you when you are matured, a fully matured believer. He actually comes for those who are the strugglers, those who are left behind, those who are lukewarm. He wants to destroy you. His main aim is to make sure that you don't get any closer to God. Amen? Amen? And therefore, prayer is what is going to hide you in God, so that when the enemy comes at you, he sees God and he flees. But if you are just a chick and you don't have your hen, mother hen, protecting you, and the enemy comes, he just swoops you, and that is it. You have no legs to stand on. See, when we have, of course, as a mother, when children were young, you send them to swimming classes or dance classes or other things, karate or whatever it is that the children enjoy doing. Why? Because they are life skills that the children need to learn. You can't wait until you are my age to learn swimming, because I don't know how to swim. But anyway, but for some people, they teach the babies and toddlers how to swim. Why? Because it's easier for them to learn it at that age, and they grow up with it. Amen. As believers, it is easier to learn how to pray from a young age, because you are going to need it at some point in time. The enemy will not wait and say that I will wait until you know how to pray so that when I come against you, you'll be able to fight me. And so yours is to actually sharpen that weapon. So if babies and toddlers can learn how to swim at an early age, why is it that as believers, because we don't know how to pray, we don't want to learn how to pray? And the most powerful weapon for any family is to pray for the family. I gave an example the other time. I said, I pray and I build a wall of protection around my family. I build a wall of protection around my family, and I stand in the gap interceding on my family's behalf. And my prayer is, Father, if any of them have said anything, either deliberately or unintentionally, to sin against you, Lord, I stand in the gap and I pray that you forgive them. That is what God wants us to do, to intercede on behalf of our families. But if you're not interceding on behalf of your family, the enemy is walking around. He's looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone to devour. So if there is a gap there, he gets inside and he destroys. And you're thinking, Lord, what happened to my family? Because you were not praying. You're not hiding your family in God, are you? One of my favorite passages, and I'm going to read this, Psalm 91. Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure in the shadow of the Almighty God. And this is what I do when I pray for my family. I wake up early. It is crazy. But you know what? Sometimes I moan. Sometimes I complain. But I know it is good for me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure. See how secure those chicks are under the hen? When you go and dwell in the shelter of the Most High, that is how secure you remain in the shadow of the Almighty God. And under the shadow of the Almighty God, no power of the enemy can withstand you. Amen. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, with great confidence and on whom I rely. For he will save me from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me and completely protect me with his pinions. Under his wings, I will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall around me. I will not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction, the sudden death that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but no danger will come near me. I will only be a spectator and look with my eyes and witness the divine repayment of the wicked, as I was safely from the shelter of the Most High. Because if you are a praying person, God reveals things to you. Because as though we are sitting here, but you are sitting up there or even higher, and you're looking at what the enemy is doing, and God is warning, saying, Irene, turn left. Don't go right because the enemy is right. I mean, go straight. Don't go back because the enemy is waiting for you. That is what happens when you hide yourself in the Lord. Amen. Amen. God says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, nor will any plague come near my tent. For he, God says, I will command my angels in regard concerning you, Irene. I will protect you and defend you and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. God says, I will command my angels to lift you up in their hands so that they do not even strike, so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. We are talking about demons here. God says you will strike upon the lion and the cobra, the lion and the serpent. You will trample them underfoot because he has set his love on me. Therefore, I will save him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon. No, never. God says, I will never abandon you. No, never. But you have to hide yourself. See, the chicks over there, they are hidden under the hen. You have to hide yourself under God. But if you don't hide yourself under God, then you are easy prey for the enemy. Prayer is a powerful weapon that God has given us. Learn to use it. Amen. Amen. Learn to use it to disarm the enemy. When we put our trust in God and hide in him, it is just the way that a hen gathers his chicks under its wings. The hen will not let you get to his chicks without a fight. Neither will God let the enemy get you. Remember, God says that you are the apple of his eye. You are the apple of his eye. The very hairs on your head, he has numbered them. Amen? But he needs you to hide there. Weapon number three, fasting. Fasting is another spiritual weapon that God has given us to disarm Satan through God's power. He's given us fasting to disarm Satan. These are things that you may already know, as I said, but I'm pulling them all in one place so that when you use them, you'll be intentional so that you know that the victory is won in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the definitions of fasting is going without food for spiritual purposes. Going without food for spiritual purposes. And Derek Prince says, every successful servant of God has to learn to humble his or her soul. Fasting is humbling your soul. Why do we need to humble our souls? He explains that God requires us to humble or subdue, afflict our souls because the soul is the ego. It is the I. And the three main functions of the soul, he says, the will, intellect, and emotions. Your soul is the thing that says, I want, I think, I feel. All right? The soul is very arrogant and self-assertive. And God says, if you want any of my blessing, you are going to have to learn to subdue that arrogant self. And there is an arrogant self in every single one of us. And God says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that is crave, require as necessary, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. Humbling ourselves is fasting. Jesus said to the disciples, when they had brought Jesus was up on the mountain with the other three disciples and the other ones that he left. They couldn't cast out the demon from the boy. And they said to Jesus, well, why couldn't we cast the demon out the way you did? And Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus said, but this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I'm not going to say much more on fasting. I want to refer you to the preach on the website that Pastor did on the 11th of February. It was comprehensive. It was powerful. It was deep. I need you to go and listen to it again to refresh your memory. Because fasting is a weapon that God has given us to disarm the enemy. Amen? 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 Amen. And therefore, if we want to be victorious, if we want to do exploits for God, if we truly want to be an extension of the resurrected Christ on here to advance his kingdom, then fasting is something that we need to engage in. The other weapons that I'm going to put together again, praise and worship, that is another powerful weapon. And again, I'm going to refer you to the church website. There was a 5-week series on praise and worship last year, from 30th July to 27th August. It may have been last year, but it is as powerful now as it was then. Amen? Amen. Again, Pastor preached it, so please go on the church website and go and listen and find out the importance of praise and worship. We're going to get to the point where we will not get tired in this church when we worship for 15 minutes. We're going to get to the point where a 30-minute worship will not be enough. Because, do you know what? If we say that his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, what is happening in heaven 24/7? Worship is happening in heaven 24/7. So how can we want to give God a 15-minute worship time and we say that is okay, let's move on? To go and do what? For the Holy Spirit to move, for us to see miracles, signs, and wonders, for us to see healing during the service without anybody laying hands on people, we have to release the atmosphere, and that is done through worship. That is done through worship. And at the end of the service, we're going to worship. We're going to worship for the Holy Spirit to come. Because it says God inhabits in the praises of his people. Inhabits means to sit. Now, English is my second language. But as far as I'm concerned, inhabit means a place of abode, is it? Somewhere that you sit, you rest, make comfortable, I believe. So if God inhabits in the praises of his people, then we want to worship so that he will come. When he comes, he dispenses what we need. We don't even have to ask him. And therefore, I pray that worship will be as important to you as air is to you as a human being. Because we cannot come to church and go back the same way with the ailments with which we came in. God has released his healing already, but we need to create the atmosphere and claim it for us. Amen? Amen. It is sad that we would come in with whatever sickness we came and go purely because we did not make time for God. Praise and worship. Praise and worship is a powerful weapon. Use it not only when you come to church, but when you're at home. When you're at home, use it. We read, Bramwell reminded us of what happened in Acts chapter 16 at midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and they were singing hymns and praise to God. And it says the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so powerful that the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. That is what happens when you worship God. That is what happens when you praise him. Remember the walls of Jericho. If you don't know the story, it is in the Old Testament. That God was going to give them Jericho as a territory, but it was a fortified city. There was a great big wall around it. The walls were so thick that chariots could actually go, horses could go on the walls. That's how thick the walls were. And God said to the Israelites, just walk around and you praise me. Walk around and you praise me. Walk around and worship. And you know what? On the seventh day, they did that 7 times. They blew the trumpet of God and the walls came down. Walls are going to come down in your life when you praise God. Amen. Amen. Nothing is so fortified that it will not come down when you bring it under God's watchful eye. Because when you praise and when you worship, he comes to inhabit in the praises that you are offering him. What can God not do? Is there anything that is too hard for him? Is there anything that is too hard for him? All the miracles we read of in the Bible, we had never heard it before. Had you ever heard of the sea being parted before in your life, prior to God doing it? God is able to do so much more that you can ask or imagine. He can do above and beyond what you ask him to do. Amen? The word impossible was nailed on the cross when Jesus was nailed on the cross. And therefore, the word impossibility does not exist in God's vocabulary. It exists in you, yours and mine, but not in God's vocabulary, because he says he can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He can do it. We need to ask him. We need to believe that he's able to do it. Amen? Amen. We need to believe that he's able to do it. So praise and worship. If you were not here, go on the website and listen to it. It is another powerful tool. Another powerful tool is our testimony. It's our testimony. And it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame him by the blood of the testimony, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The blood of Jesus reaches to the highest mountain, the song goes, and it flows right down to the lowest valley. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. It is for you to apply the blood of Jesus in every situation that you find yourself. It is for you to apply the blood of Jesus in every situation that you find yourself. And our testimony, who can deny our testimony? For the person who was actually lying on the hospital bed dying, and Jesus raised that person from the dead, and they tell their story, who can say that no, it is not true? When the person is standing there and they're telling their story. For the person who the doctor said, there's nothing we can do for you. We're sending you home. There's nothing we can do. And then Jesus steps in and heals that person, and the person is walking around alive. Who can say that story is not true? We overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony. And therefore, when God does something to you, it is good to actually say it so that it will shame the devil. Our testimony is powerful. We silence the enemy by our testimony. There are many more weapons, but the last one I want to finish on is the supernatural power of God. We read in the Bible how many people Jesus healed. Those who were blind, those who were lame, those who were demon possessed, he set free. That is the supernatural power of God that was at work, working through Jesus. And the same supernatural power worked through the disciples. And we read it in the Bible over and over again. And for some of us, we think it is history. For some of us, we read that and we think all that is history. But things changed in this church last week, amen? Amen. Things changed in this church last week that we witnessed the supernatural power of God with our own eyes right in this church, right here, Friday the 16th of February, 2018. At a prayer service right here, Pastor was ministering. And then he keeled over, flat on the floor. I wasn't the only one here, so it's not just my story. There are at least 30 people, if not more. And then in his own words, he said, he does not remember what happened between him speaking from the word of God and he waking up being surrounded by the church and the church praying for him. Now I said to him, I sought his permission before sharing this. And I said, how shall I describe it? He said, it was a near-death experience. He said, as he woke up on the floor, his body was cold. But as we were praying for him, he was feeling the warmth in his body. And then he kept feeling the warmth, but then after a while, he called us together again. For those of you who are here, you will remember. He called us together again and said, no, come and gather around me and pray. He said his body was going cold again. And as we prayed, He said, and yes, he asked for the oil to be poured on him, didn't he? And then he started feeling the warmth in his body again. That was the supernatural power of God at work. Amen? So we don't only read it in the Bible. So if you didn't believe that God still heals today, he raised him from the dead. Because the subsequent visions he had showed him that he was on his way to heaven. That would have been a premature death. He went to the doctors in the course of the week. And the doctor took his pressure and he was shocked. He said, you shouldn't be alive. But he is alive. Because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So we're going to worship. We're going to worship and then ask God to touch us. I don't know what he's going to do. But he says, ask and you will receive. So we're going to ask. So as we're worshiping, I want faith to arise in here. All right? And if you need healing, you claim it. And what God drops in my spirit, I'll speak it out. But don't wait for me to call out before you claim your healing. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to ask for them to play a song for me. Thank you. Unless you can play it. God is moving in this place. You follow that. Okay. Let's go for it. Song.